This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's time for Tech Talk. Good afternoon, this is Frida Liu. It's certainly true that the internet has transformed many of our lives. But is it too easy to be persuaded by lies or false information? A new series of crowdsourced initiatives aim to bring truth back to the web and increase the reliability of the facts we find online. Lying through his teeth, as usual, is Matt Armitage from Emanate and Culture Pop. So Matt, what lies are you going to tell us this week?
I'm going to have to change my name to Spooky Matt Armitage, I think, whatever the word is for Spooky Fox Mulder. Anyway, I tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, as ever. So I'm going to start this week by telling you that I managed to raise an additional $4 billion in funding for Instagram this week on a new Kickstarter-style site called It's Not a Con, Honest Mate, Really. .com, okay. Which was started by Jeff Sandu and has registered offices in Belarus and Fiji. Anyway, I've already told the new investors that I'll be back to put in the hard work after I've taken a quick break in Las Vegas this weekend. Jeff and I are flying out on David Chu's private jet. So, you know, once we're back from that, we'll be putting your money to work. Honest Gov.
Now, tell us about the rest of the lies in the web.
Okay, today we're kind of talking about the truth or the lack of it that's online. In this week's New Scientist, there's a piece called Truth Goggles, which outlines how widely kind of lies and misinformation spread into our daily lives. So when you take something as simple as kind of the health sites that a lot of us use these days, you know, it used to be that if we thought there was something wrong with us, you know, we'd just go and visit a doctor and say, hey, I think something's wrong. Mm. Now, of course, we just kind of Google whatever we think our symptoms are. So, you know, you type it in and then thousands of different sites claim to know the answer. And, you know, you spend half an hour kind of finding the one that isn't some kind of link server farm.
Yeah. And you know what? You always end up trying to look for the one that I think this is it. So you try to look for that site.
No, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, we've all done it. I mean, I was going to say, you know, have you done that? So obviously you have. No, of course not. But anyway, so, I mean, according to the symptoms that I've had, I mean, I've suffered from encephalitis, necrosis, spina bifida. And currently I'm one of the world's oldest cystic fibrosis survivors. But obviously, of course, not all in the same day. Anyway, there was a study back in 2010 that was called Googling Children's Health. So it's kind of self-explanatory what that's about. They wanted to assess how accurate kind of the information on a lot of these health sites was. So they asked five kind of very common questions relating to childhood illnesses and polled the responses across 500 of the top sites that come up on these things. So from those, they found that only 39% of that 500 gave the correct information. 49%, I guess, you know, those link server farms, they didn't answer the question at all. And 11% actually gave false, outdated or incorrect information. Yeah. So on the face of it, 11% doesn't really sound too bad. But, you know, when you're panicking, when there's a young child in distress, you know, that could actually push you to make kind of a harmful or the incorrect judgment, you know, concerning your child's health. So
it's a 49% that didn't reply is what I'm worried about. Anyway.
Well, you know, I mean, again, a lot of those are just serving up links to get you to go to different pharmaceutical sites and that kind of thing. You know, the Niagara sites and all of those kind of online things. So
how do we clean up the web?
Well, strangely enough, we start with politics. Not something I generally talk about, but anyway, the New Scientist article, it also noted that recent studies have shown that over half of US newspaper articles contain at least one error of fact. And apparently this is the highest in over 70 years of these kind of surveys. Of course, there are a lot of things contributing to this, such as the fact that journalistic teams have been cut down. Writers have to work on a greater number of stories in a lot less time, so the research becomes a little more kind of cursory and quick. There are fewer researchers that work with them. There are fewer fact checkers who are validating their stories now. And again, these same journalists may be, you know, just Googling things the way that the rest of us are doing. So, you know, they're not actually checking the veracity of the information or to see if the sources quoted are actually correct. And also there's the fact that, you know, some organizations release press releases or studies that say that they're facts. They purport to be facts, and these then get repeated. But in fact, they're pretty much just propaganda from a commercial or a political entity that has a vested interest in whatever they're talking about. But of course, this information then enters the kind of public realm as fact, and then it gets repeated. And the more it gets repeated, the more it's reinforced, and the harder it is to disprove.
I believe everything in a press release.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, everything I say is true as well.
The
gospel truth. Yeah.
So, anyway, why don't you give everyone an example, though?
Okay, again, I'll use one from the New Scientist. I mean, if you go back a couple of years when Barack Obama was trying to introduce his health reforms, now, a rumor was being floated around on some forums then that it would force old people to seek counselling on how to end their lives because there would be no medical treatment available to them, which is, you know, pretty kind of far out there and not something that you're going to believe. But that was repeated on radio and TV shows, and then pundits like Sarah Palin started to shape it into this very, very emotive death panels argument, where supposed teams of doctors would actually decide which patients, especially old patients, would live or die according to the budgets that they had for medical treatment at the time. And the proof that they gave that this kind of system is already in existence was the British National Health Service, which you know, I owe my current physical prowess to growing up under. And again, they said that the death panels in the UK had decided, you know, people's lives like mine for over 50 years or more, and complete and utter nonsense. But again, that became something that very nearly derailed the entire health reform program.
So why do people believe this?
I mean, to put it really, really bluntly, I mean, we all delude ourselves. Apparently, there's this condition that psychologists have identified. It's called naive realism.
Okay.
So again, going back to how New Scientist defines this, we fool ourselves into believing that we're weighing the information in a rational way. So the example they give is a sports event, say it might be football, it might be tennis. So there's a contested play, there's a line call. Did the ball cross the line? Your decision will actually be coloured by which team or which player you actually support. So you pull the information in the direction of the one that you actually favour. But at the same time, you're convincing yourself that you're behaving rationally, that you're behaving objectively. So you've got no idea that you're actually demonstrating a bias, that you're coming into this with a pre-existing desire to shape the information in one way or another that supports your own belief.
Is it because Panalela Rinongsha won the gold medal? It's very subjective.
No, exactly. Everything, everything is subjective.
Now, if some truths are subjective, how do we improve accuracy?
Well, essentially with ratings and comments. I mean, a bit like services like Metacritic, where, you know, music and movie reviews are aggregated, so you can see kind of the general trend. So we can give scores about the truthfulness of everything we see and we read on the net. There's a few systems that are currently in service. There's a few more that are in kind of beta or alpha testing form. PolitiFact has been up and running, I think, for the last like 3-4 years. Again, obviously, that's in the political field. They have a team of journalists who scrutinise what the politicians there say. So apparently, Mitt Romney is not faring very well. So far, as much as 40% of his comments have been rated as mostly false or worse, versus around 25% for Barack Obama. I'm quite surprised about the 25% for Barack Obama, actually. I mean, but again, that's probably my bias. I would have expected him to score a lot lower, and probably Mitt Romney to score a lot higher. But hey, you know, but again, this is within their own website rather than the web at large. So the impact is actually limited. So another website called Fact Spreaders, that's trying to push the kind of ratings from PolitiFacts across Twitter and widen the spread and potential audience as well. There's another company called Fact Check, which is actually looking at using artificial intelligence to build software that can analyze the links in tweets and see if they come from websites that often publish disputed facts. And Truth Goggles, which is a fantastic name. I love the idea of having a piece of software called Truth Goggles. This is a browser plugin that pops up as a warning. It pops up a warning if the web page you're visiting is known to contain content that has been flagged by PolitiFacts as incorrect or subject or very, very subjective. So,
all right. Yeah. So in the future, we'll never have to say no, Sherlock.
I do hope not. I wasn't expecting that one.
So are there any these fact-checking tools, they go beyond the world of politics.
Okay, I'm saving the best for last. There's a website that should launch next year. It's called Hypothesis. So that's the word hypothesis with a full stop after the S and then a dot. So it's hypothesis.
I thought it was a typo.
.is. No, that's the name. I'm sure a lot of people are not going to be able to find it, but it's being built by a non-profit company in San Francisco. Again, it's a browser extension that wants to basically be the Wikipedia of truth. The idea
is called WikiLeaks.
Well, yeah, I mean, but again, WikiLeaks is self-contained. The way it would work is it adds a layer to every single page on the web that can't be amended by the owner of the web page. So you're free to post comments or even links to video explaining the truthfulness of the statements on that particular page. So when somebody else comes to that page, they see a little meter on the side that gauges the level of truth of that particular page based on the people who have commented. So, and to avoid trolls and kind of spammers upsetting that system, they're working on an additional system that actually rates the critics, that rates the commentators as well, so that the people who have the best track record in giving correct information and correcting bad information will be rated more highly, so their comments will come further up the comment pile when you go to that page. Is it going to make the web a kind of more truthful place to be? Overall, I think maybe it's just a little bit too big. But there is the hope that with ideas like death panels, like a lot of the conspiracy theories, it can actually stop them from gaining ground by challenging them with proper facts at their very, very kind of early stages before they get kind of cemented in the popular consciousness as truths. Right. So that's it.
That's
lies
it.
And truth on the web.
Matt Armitage, m8/counterpop.com. He'll be joined by Techmaster Jeff Sandu for Geek Squawk in a while. Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.